I'd say bright and early, but the sun's not up yet. We're hanging out live. Allen Park, Lions practice, training camp underway. Jim Costa, John Jansen, Heather Park, Gov and Greg behind the glass. We are dialed in on a Wednesday. Good morning.
Good morning. How's it going?
Good.
How was the trip down today for both of you guys?
Smooth.
Good morning, Heather.
Smooth.
Yeah.
Quick. I had to drive fast.
Oh, you did? Oh.
Well, I forget how far away this is compared to going to work sometimes. Then I woke up and I was like, oh.
Were you on autopilot? Did you think you were going into work?
No. I knew where I was headed, but I knew I had to get there quick. Lickety-split.
You hit it with plenty of time. You're fine.
I sure did.
Yeah. No, we all made it just fine. And it is dark 30. It is not bright and early. It is dark and early.
Now, did I hear a rumor some families are making appearances later?
Oh, yeah.
It's family day on
it
the show,
is.
Apparently.
Yeah. Yeah. The DeCourcy clan is coming down, and so is Lisa and Teddy.
There you go.
So we're going to see if Teddy has found out how to play well with other young individuals, because he plays with Jack and the girls, and he thinks that wrestling with them is the same as playing with any other 2 or 3 year old. So when he
he's the size of a 12 year old, so it doesn't go well.
Yeah. So all of a sudden, he'll do a little shove and the kid will go flying. I'll be like, here we go.
Dang.
Yes, yes. Yeah, call dad to the principal's office again. Your
get
son
used to
is.
That.
Yeah, okay. All right, yeah, thanks.
We got a loaded show today.
We do. There's a lot going on.
We got AJ Hinch today. Great time to check in with AJ. We'll talk to him middle of the show, 8 o'clock. And Brad Holmes.
Yeah. Brad, what, 9 o'clock?
8:50.
8:50. Okay, we'll take him at 8:52. You know what? Lots of questions. And I've been thinking about it since the last time that we talked to Brad. I'm like, man, I should have asked this question.
Yep.
That. Now they've changed a little bit, but there's still a few issues out there. Za'Darius Smith is not signed yet.
I'm sure he'll love to hear about edge questions.
Yeah, well.
But we got to ask him.
Yeah, it is going to be there until they either sign someone and the fans get their way, or
they don't. And
they
know.
Don't, and they go out there, and Marcus Davenport, maybe he stays healthy. We don't know. It's not been his trait, but there is that possibility. Josh Pascal, whenever he returns, like, what's he going to be? And so there's just a lot of things that we can talk to him about, and obviously talking to AJ about, is it pitching chaos? Is it going to, like, how long does it take to familiarize yourself with all these new arms?
With Brad,
yeah.
Last time we had him on at training camp, he broke the Taylor Decker extension.
Oh, that's right. Oh, maybe today.
Hutch today. Hutch. Maybe it's the whispers on the streets that we may or may not be making up. We'll find out at 8:50 from Brad.
Yes.
With AJ, you said learning about all these new arms. We got to see some of them yesterday, and John, I wonder, is this pitching confidence, pitching chaos?
You know, I'm curious as to what the fans think. How confident are you in this pitching staff? Now, obviously, we saw Paddock last night play against his former team and get banged around a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to see, and we also saw Melton in the bullpen, and that was 2 really nice innings. So some positives yesterday, other than the score of the game, which was nothing positive about that, but taking the bats out of it, how confident are fans in the starting rotation with Morton and Paddock added to Scooble, Flaherty, Mize, and how confident are you in this bullpen now that Melton is there, and we saw him yesterday, that we're going to see Finnegan, and we'll see him not have to, this bullpen not have to rely just simply on Canely or Vest. Like, where are people at in the confidence of this, and does it eventually lend itself for maybe not starting pitching chaos, but chaos on the back end?
248-539-9797. I think people are going to tell you it's a mixed bag, because it is, John. I mean, we got to see Rafael Montero throw for the first time as a Detroit Tiger, and I think you saw why he was available. He was having trouble locating, throwing strikes. He gave up a couple hard hits and gave up a couple runs.
Yeah.
Now, Matt Vierling didn't do him any favors misplaying a ball in center, and he actually misplayed 2 balls yesterday, but Montero is as erratic as advertised, and that's some of the volatility of a bullpen, John. They didn't get a bunch of rock-solid guys, so we're going to live and die on a roller coaster ride.
Yeah, and I don't know. There must have been something in the air last night, because as I was surfing the channels and watching a whole bunch of Major League Baseball, it felt like there were a lot of errors in the outfield last night. It was bizarre, and Vierling was He was bit by that same bug. But, yeah, so if you're looking at – all right, we know what we're going to get out of Skubal. Nine and a half times out of ten.
Yeah.
You know what you're getting. And I think we're very familiar with Flaherty and Mize, some good, some bad, and we're hoping that as the season continues – that and if they do add in a pitching chaos day, it adds a little bit of rest to these guys as you start to get towards September. And August, as we've talked about, and I know they just lost to the Twins last night, and who do you keep calling them? The St. Paul Saints.
Yes.
You know, you're not gonna go undefeated for the month of August, but you have the opportunity to mix and match some of the things that are happening on the mound, whether it's with the starting pitching, whether it's with the bullpen. And I'm curious, we'll ask AJ this when we talk to him at 8:02, how long does it take for him to familiarize himself with all these new arms
right. And
know exactly what he has? What's that communication like between him and Chris Fetter? And, you know, like what kind of magic does he expect out of Chris Fetter in working with some of these new arms? But what are the best matchups? You know, because it's not always, you know, the easy thing is right arm, left bat. Or you know, left arm, left bat, whatever you're trying to match up, you're trying to create. But there are, and we heard from Scott Harris, different shapes, different spins,
well, yeah.
different arm
ground
angles.
Ball guy in a situation, I need a ground ball. It's, hey, these guys can't hit breaking stuff.
Right.
So I got a guy who can throw nasty sliders. Well, he's the perfect matchup for the bottom of the order.
Yeah.
There's more than just lefty, righty, and righty, lefty. But
he's got to be able to know and familiarize himself with the staff, see it in person, and it needs to be second nature to where, you know, he doesn't even have to think about it. Okay, I'm going to go with Melton right here, or I'm going to go with this guy.
What's your level of confidence that they have, quote, the goods, the guys in the bullpen to get it done?
It's actually relatively high, and I know this is on the heels of what we saw last night with Montero, and it wasn't great, but I don't expect greatness out of him. I am excited that we have Melton, and I mean, I've been talking about this for a long time, and especially when we get to the postseason, if they put Morton in the bullpen, now you've got a couple of guys that can get you from and in the postseason. That might be, hey, starting pitching only goes five, and then you go six, seven, eight. You've got a couple of guys that are, you know, have the starter mentality to go a little bit longer, to get one trip through or maybe one and a third trips through the order to get to Finnegan, Vest, Canely. Now, I'm hoping that Canely, with less pressure on him, less opportunity, is able to find what he needs. And then you start adding in some of these other guys that either get healthy or start producing a little bit more. And, you know, you're mixing and matching.
Yeah.
So my confidence as we get towards the postseason is actually fairly high.
You're a very glass half full guy.
Well,
I
enjoy life, and I think it's more of a positive experience.
You already see what he's doing to me, guys, before I even say a word. But in everything you said was when this hits and if this hits and then this hits and then, well, what if they all don't hit? Because the odds would suggest the volatility. Like Chris Paddock, we love his first start, right?
Right.
This is who he is. Jekyll and Hyde, inconsistent pitcher. He has a 4.9 ERA. John, I would venture you're going to get just as many nights as you did last night as you did his first start. And again, that was against a light-hitting Minnesota Twins
lineup.
Well,
it's also on the heels of Casey Mize giving up three single shots.
Yes.
All right, so it thankfully nobody else was on base. They ended up winning that game.
Yes.
But, you know, it's – yeah, I understand there's a lot of ifs in there, but there's always going to be ifs in sports. If Tarek Skubal doesn't get hurt, or if Tarek Skubal continues to dominate, it's still an if. Now, that it's a much it, that one's in low caps,
yeah.
And some of them are in all caps. So it's there's always going to be some ifs, and you've got to have a little bit of confidence in some of the things that you've seen, and you got to have confidence that these guys are competitors, right?
Yeah,
and the fact that Paddock, right, he knows yesterday wasn't good enough for this team. And Morton came out in his first, you know, appearance for the Tigers and threw a gem. Now, he knows, and he's very familiar, especially at 41, he was on a bad team. he's got a great his clock is, you know, it's about to strike midnight. He knows he's only got a little bit left, so you're going to get the best of him every time. Doesn't mean it he doesn't get hit.
And will it be good enough? You may get his best. I have no doubt of his motivations, John. I would tell you, Morton's ERA being what it is, his next start will probably be like Paddock's last start.
Could
because
be.
That's just what the track record, right? This ball club loves to
so
cite
your confidence
track
is
record.
Very low.
It's much lower than yours, yes.
Right. Yeah. Well, I always expect it to be.
Well, it's a day that ends in Y. But Chris Paddock, right? So let's go on track record. This team loves to cite track record, and we like to go off of what is most likely to happen. Not the, like, fairy tale, but what's most likely to happen. Paddock's ERA every season since 2020. Are you ready?
Sure.
4-7, 5-0, 4-0-3, 5-4, 4-9-9, 4-9-5, 4-5-0.
That's who he is.
Yeah, it is who he is. He's a dude that's going to give up a handful of runs every time he goes out there. So, again, good enough to be a back-end starter to get you in the postseason, not necessarily a horse when it comes time to playoff time. So you're going to be relying on, are we hitting it at the right time? Not do we have the right guys, are we hitting it at the right time? That's the bet they're making.
Right, but you're also, if you get to the World Series, how many times do you expect Skubal to pitch?
In a seven-game series, ideally I'm teeing him up game one, and I'm getting two starts and a third appearance.
Right. And so you start – I mean, that's where AJ needs to really dial in on knowing these pitchers. And right now, you know the stats. They're all right there.
Yeah.
But there's a feel for it. And, I mean, it's – AJ has – and I don't expect him to always have the right answer all the time or wave the magic wand like we talked about at the beginning of the season. But I do expect that he is more in tune than maybe some other managers – than some other guys. That's what makes him so good.
Yeah, I think he's a good manager.
And so I do expect him to be able to create matchups that are favorable or at least favor the pitcher at the time.
We got ticket text coming in, 248-539-9797. Also, a note from Gov, the division lead is down to 7.
Ooh!
Guardians won last night. All right, we'll keep talking Tiger baseball. We're going to have some fun with hobbies, the worst hobbies at the end of the hour. It's 97.1.
Hey, it is it's going to be a little bit steamy today. So if you woke up, house is warm, give Mastercraft Heating, Cooling, Plumbing, and Electrical a call. Whatever you need in that list of services, they take care of my house. They'll take care of yours as well. Upgrade your system now, and you can save up to $1,000. Give them a shout for details. You can also schedule a free in-home estimate so you know what you're getting into before you sign on the dotted line. They offer same-day service if you call before noon. So give them a shout if you need something today. You can find more information on the web at mastercraftheating.com. That's mastercraftheating.com.
Got ticket text pouring in after that Tiger game yesterday. A check-in on what we think of the pitching. You saw some more of the new names and saw more of these guys. Ticket texter says, I didn't like seeing the meatball shop set up at Comerica last night. Matt Novi.
No, I mean, you didn't like seeing it the other night, too, when it was Casey Mize. And I know it.
His damage was limited.
Because there was no one on base.
Yep.
I struggle when I hear people say, well, he pitched really good because he got through six innings and it was only 68 pitches or whatever it was.
Only three runs, quality start.
Yeah, three runs, quality start, but there were three bombs, three meatballs that he served up. And, okay, yeah, for the other 66 pitches, they were great, but there was three that could have cost him even more than they did. So there is a give and take there. I'm not saying it's perfect.
Right.
But I do have confidence that this pitching staff will be good enough.
Based on not their track record, but Fetter, right, and Hinch.
Well, some of him. Yeah, some. Yeah. So it's based on their track record. They're not awful pitchers, but it's also based on Chris Fetter's track record of being able to get the best out of pitchers.
Yeah, again, he did such a great job last year, and it was so magical. That hasn't been the case this year. They've got 2 months where the bullpen's been bad. Yep. The guys they brought in are bad, and some of them have already been broomed out of the organization. Carlos Hernandez came in here as, they'll get him right. He throws a splitter. Gone. I mean, that's what's
most likely to
happen.
I'm talking about the ones that we actually believe we'll see.
So, like, Montero, we saw. I don't know if he'll be on the playoff roster.
Right, and I kind of hope that he's not.
That's the guy they added, though, you know?
I understand that, but that Finnegan was – we talked about Finnegan was the crown jewel of their addition.
That's
what I'm talking about.
Yes.
Moving Melton to the bullpen, I like. Postseason, moving Morton to the bullpen, I like.
John is right. The Tiger bullpen is like a wet burrito. Chaos in the back end.
Yep.
Oh, gosh.
That is
it's a great text.
The perfect analogy.
Text says, can we talk about the Vierling thing? Why are they pushing him to be a guy when he's clearly not?
He's really struggled. You know, and he's struggling in all facets right now. Last night was a struggle in the field.
He did get two hits finally. Finally,
right.
Finally.
But, okay, is that a one-off?
I know.
Or is he – he is approaching that –
almost 100 at-bats.
Yeah, I think it's like 88, 89, 90, something like that.
He's had very little power. That was his first multi-hit game.
Right, so maybe there was a little confidence built up last night. Maybe it's just getting close to that 100 at-bat mark where he's starting to feel better at the plate.
I heard Doug say this yesterday about Riley Green and the angst, and it's like, dude, the month of August is low-level opponents. He had a lead. This is the month to figure some stuff out. Because
right.
when September
comes, and he had the day off last night.
And they gave him the day off yesterday. Texter says you could argue they win that game if Vierling is not in center field. Maybe.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really like playing that game because you have no idea what happens if he doesn't have those errors.
Text says, guys, our bullpen needs to add swing and miss. We added five noodle arms. You see, Duran throwing 102. We added no bats as well, Brad, in ATL. Says, if I get breaking news today that a toddler spears Amon-Ra St. Brown, I think we'll know who the culprit is.
Yes.
And
he does want to get out there and play.
I know he does. And this one says, Costa's a Debbie Downer. Jansen, give him some positive vibes. He needs help.
Hey, I try every single morning. Heather tries you know, the best that she can. And, you know, we're doing what we can.
You operate on feelings. I'm operating on the numbers.
Well, it's not – no, I'm you, like I don't look at numbers.
You feel
or,
that Fetter's going to make it work. I'm giving you the numbers that say they don't have the guys.
Okay, well, and I could go back to last year and talk about all the guys where Fetter made it work.
And I could talk about all the guys this year that he hasn't made
right.
work.
Right. And so
I'm living in this year. You're living in what you want to happen.
Oh, okay, yeah. I'm living in some fantasy world. That
well,
you think,
want them to win the World Series bad enough that you're saying it to be
no, I'm,
confident.
No, you're sitting here saying I have no factual basis to what I'm talking about.
I'm giving you their track records.
All right, with Seawald,
Paddock's no good.
He's
Montero's
got a lot of swing
no
and miss. All right. So I do believe that Morton will be good.
Based on,
I believe that Finnegan will
hold
be
on,
good.
Back up
based on the fact that he had a crappy year to start the year.
Yeah.
And he pitched a lot better. We saw what he did when he came out and pitched for the Tigers. All
yeah.
right. We won't know what he is in his second start until we see it.
Friday night.
Yeah.
It's the Angels.
That'll be great.
Yeah. If we went off of Paddock's first start, we would have thought he'd be a stud, too.
Well, we'll see what happens.
All right. Let's get to Heather with the news.
I felt like I was a little bit in danger there. I
yeah,
saw those
okay.
hands.
It's all
talking
right.
with those hands. Yeah. I thought, okay, hold on. Why am I in the middle here?
I'm still waiting for Darren McCarty to come here and give him a slap.
Jeez. Yeah, he should. You guys. It has happened again. You might have seen this. A sex toy was thrown onto the court.
What color?
Green.
Oh, it was the green.
Why is
again?
It always green?
Well, because it's their calling sign, John.
Oh.
Right? Like,
I guess.
Whoever's doing this is running a full sex toy operation
yes,
at WNBA
yes.
games. Well, it was thrown onto the court while the Fever played the Sparks on Tuesday night. The bright green object landed right near Sophie Cunningham with about 2 minutes left in the second quarter. Kelsey Plum kicked it into the stands, acted as if nothing was there. The Sparks coach kind of spoke after the game, Lynn Roberts, and says, you know, this behavior is ridiculous, it's dumb, and it's dangerous. She said this is really stupid.
It is really stupid, and it is dangerous. If they throw it on the court, I mean, somebody could trip on it,
right.
somebody could step on it and, you know, twist an ankle.
Sure.
It wouldn't matter what the object was.
Right.
Correct.
Throwing anything onto the court is not safe.
Yeah.
The Auburn Hills man accused of exposing himself to girls outside of two Rochester Hills businesses has been charged with two counts of indecent exposure. And we now know who this guy is. 32-year-old Brandon Richardson. He was given a $5,000 personal bond. If convicted, he faces up to life in prison. And the Oakland County Sheriff, Michael Bouchard, basically thanked the public for their help in identifying this guy pretty quickly, even though he did turn himself in. And he said that he looks forward to moving this case forward in the days ahead. Richardson is due back in court at the end of this month. Diddy, he must stay in jail. A judge denied his latest bid for bail, says that he must stay in jail until he is sentenced. So Sean Combs has been behind bars since his September arrest. He was acquitted last month of the top charges that he was facing, right, racketeering and sex trafficking, but he was convicted on two counts of a prostitution-related offense. The judge basically noted that he hasn't proven that he did not pose a flight risk or danger, nor shown an exceptional circumstance that would justify his release after a conviction that otherwise requires detention. So he will stay there until he is sentenced. Hey, the White House Christmas tree will have Michigan roots, which is pretty darn cool.
Cool.
A West Michigan Christmas tree farm is set to supply the official White House Christmas tree for 2025. It's a first for a Michigan grower in four decades.
Wow.
Yeah. The last time the White House had a tree for Michigan was 41 years ago.
I'll ask questions that you probably don't have answers
Corson's
to.
Corson's Tree Farm is the name of the tree farm. They were actually named the grand champion in the National Christmas Tree Association's Christmas Tree Contest.
Oh, wow.
Didn't know it existed, but it does. So it was selected because of that to provide the White House Christmas tree.
It's an award-winning tree.
Since it hasn't been, you know, four decades, do they make a, you know, rotation? There are, you know, 50 states.
I think it's whoever wins this big.
Oh, wins that thing?
Does
it say which state has the most appearances?
No, John, I don't have all that.
I love how she's flipping through multiple pages here.
It's just about this Michigan tree, John. Yes. Who cares about where the other trees came from?
Well, I mean, hey, is there a chance we could go back-to-back next year?
I'm sure I could find you the list.
I know.
Yeah.
Well,
no,
yeah.
I have
these feelings and excitement about possibly having a back-to-back Christmas tree at the White House.
I think
but
that
do you
we
have
could.
The facts, John?
Yeah, that's why I'm looking for facts.
I know.
I'll see what I can do. Hey, a rare freshwater jellyfish was spotted last month in Lake Erie. It's kind of cool. Officials say it was spotted at the Presque Isle State Park. And these rare jellyfish are non-native aquatic species, probably introduced to North America, they say, with aquatic plants out of China. They really pose no danger to us or to anything, really. They're just kind of interesting, intriguing. People know about them. They want to see them. And lo and behold, it was spotted there. They were first observed in the Great Lakes Basin in 1933.
Wow.
Yeah, pretty cool. Finally, data shows that certain states produce more cheaters than others.
Oh.
Yes. A new survey looked at online searches, and from that, it found that New York has the most cheaters, followed by Alaska.
What?
Huh. Nevada, get that. Okay. Wyoming and Hawaii.
It just feels like a scattershot. Like,
it
no
does,
rhyme or reason to
right?
any of that.
Yeah. Like, what would be the commonality in... Okay, well, there's some commonality, it feels like, maybe between Alaska and Wyoming. But
and Hawaii, maybe remoteness.
Yeah.
But New York is the opposite of remote.
No, but you know, population there,
right.
Nevada, I mean, hey, it obviously doesn't stay there.
No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. And I tried to find where Michigan landed on this list, but they only gave me the top five and the states that are least likely to have cheaters.
So we're in the middle.
Those are Mississippi, Arkansas, Idaho, Kentucky, and West Virginia. So if you
John?
No comments.
All right, Heather with the news. It's 97.1.
Hey, summer is heating up, and there's nothing more refreshing than an ice-cold Surfside iced tea and vodka or Surfside lemonade and vodka to break the heat. Made with real brewed tea and real vodka, Surfside is only 100 calories, 2 grams of sugar, and 0 bubbles. That's right, there's no carbonation, so it's super easy to sip and enjoy no matter what your plans are this weekend. Look for the can with the sunset stripes. Sold at bars, restaurants, and stores near you. Must be 21. Please drink responsibly.
John, I am staring at a list of the top 25 quarterbacks of the last 25 years in college football.
Okay.
Let's have a little fun. Let's go through this morning.
That sounds good to me.
number 25, Mackenzie Milton. Number 24, Michael Penix. Number 23 is Troy Smith. Number 22 is Kyler Murray. And number 21 is Carson Palmer. Thoughts on that first initial group at the bottom?
Well, Michael Penix, obviously, we saw him in the Big Ten when he was at Indiana. Never really anticipated that he would be the quarterback that we saw at Washington, have the season, and ultimately be a first-round pick. But it's kind of unique because Mackenzie Milton played for two schools, but it was before really the whole transfer portal thing became a thing. Michael Penix, being able to see him at both schools, it kind of, you know, you feel like maybe the Indiana got the raw deal on that one of missing out on the best season of Michael Penix Jr.
They had, it was the COVID year, they pulled off that upset against Penn State.
Right, with the controversial call at the end zone. Yep. Yeah, did he get in?
He kind of lived two lives because then, he takes Washington to the national championship game. Mackenzie Milton.
Did he lose in that one?
Yes, John,
he did. That's right.
Mackenzie Milton, they say, has a national title of his own from the undefeated Central
Florida
team. That's
right. The one Scott Frost created.
Manufactured.
Yeah.
23 was Troy Smith with the Heisman, Kyler Murray a Heisman, and Carson Palmer a Heisman. There's a lot of Heisman Trophy winners on this list.
Kyler Murray in that year with Oklahoma, those couple years with Oklahoma, was as dynamic as a college quarterback as you're going to see.
All right, the next batch. Number 20 is Stetson Bennett. 19 is Robert Griffin III. 18, Bryce Young. 17, Caleb Williams. And 16, Alex Smith. What stands out from those guys?
Robert Griffin III, you forget a little bit of how good he was at Baylor and the season that he had, because obviously he gets to Washington, drafted at the same time as Kirk Cousins.
Yeah.
And doesn't end up being, have that career because of the injury he sustained and was never really able to recover. But it gets lost in the shuffle, the season, especially his Heisman Trophy winning year that he had at Baylor.
Kind of a one-hit wonder in that way. Like, was here, sure, gone, and kind of forgotten about.
Is Alex Smith maybe the most forgotten quarterback, if not for the leg injury? Because he preceded Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City. And what he did at Utah, I think if you asked people where Alex Smith went to college,
they wouldn't know.
They wouldn't know.
Should he be that high then? 16th?
I mean, well, you look at the numbers.
So he had that great season at Utah, but didn't win a Heisman, didn't win a national title.
Was that the year with Urban?
Yes.
And so I do think he should be there. Maybe not at 16. I actually think Kyler Murray. I think he was too low for being. I'm not a huge fan of his. I think it's been well documented. But in college, I think his performance at Oklahoma is too low on this list.
Stetson Bennett at 20, not the most talented, but from the story of a walk-on to a two-time national champion quarterback.
He was there, he wasn't, then he was.
He's on the list. Okay, so as we continue to bump up the list, we're at number 15, where it's Jaden Daniels, Heisman Trophy winner, Tua Tagovailoa, Kellen Moore, Andrew Luck, and Jameis Winston at number 11.
So, Kellen Moore, Boise State. If you put him on another team in a better conference, does he have the numbers? And maybe, okay, I don't mean to be taking shots at Boise State or the Group of Five. I just feel like Kyler Murray, if you put him at Boise State, he may, instead of being, 22, he may be 2 or 3.
So the Kellen Moore thing, 49-3, some of that is the level of competition.
Right.
He wasn't the most physically gifted, but they'll label him a winner and a guy who got the ball where it needed to be, very cerebral. Plus, the face of the BCS busting Broncos is Kellen Moore. Again, on the list, probably too high at 13.
Yeah, I it's hard to believe that he is one removed from Andrew Luck.
Yeah. Now, Jameis Winston, I wonder at 11 if he should be higher. Now, we'll get to the top 10 in a second, but his track record, won the Heisman, won the national championship, 26-1 as a starting quarterback. There's 10 better than him the last 25 years. We'll get to it, but do you agree with me that there's a case he should be higher?
Yes, 100%.
Number 10, Marcus Mariota.
I mean, what he did at Oregon, and still popping around the league a little bit, but tremendous numbers. I just don't know that I would have Jameis Winston ahead of him. I honestly would have Kyler Murray ahead of him.
Really? Okay. Number 9, Trevor Lawrence.
I think this is way too low for Trevor Lawrence. You know, national title.
First true freshman to win a national title since Jamel Holloway.
Right. And I know his NFL career has been subpar for the expectations coming into the NFL. But, I mean, let's go back to when he was at Clemson. Everybody thought that he was the golden child. Yeah. He was God's gift to football. He was the modern quarterback. He was tall. He could throw. He could run. He was built in a way to take the hits as a running quarterback. And the production that he had was, I mean, I'd put his career up against anybody else on this list.
Yeah, again, the knock would be no Heisman Trophy, but national title as a freshman. He didn't lose his first game until they met a buzzsaw known as the LSU right. Tigers the second season of his
right.
career. He's number 9. Number 8, Johnny Manziel.
Johnny Football.
That's right.
I'm also curious, like, it's really hard for any of us to put away what we know since then. And I'm because Johnny Manziel's college football career, and it really took off when they beat Bama, but that Heisman Trophy year was unbelievable. Have you seen some of the documentaries and some of the shows
yeah.
that have come out about what was going on at Texas A&M at that time?
The life of the party behind the scenes?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it was so bizarre. And to know that he could perform
around
with all that chaos going on.
John, he was a magician. That Bama game where, like, the ball squirts out, he finds it, and he makes a play in the red zone. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean,
I think he's a guy that, like, you'll have to tell people about in 10 years because they won't fully understand the phenomenon that was.
That was Johnny Manziel. I mean, he made his coach. How much money did he make?
Sumlin, right?
Yeah. I mean, in terms of what he made there and then going to Arizona after that.
Number 7, top 25 quarterbacks of the last 25 years college football. Number 7's Baker Mayfield.
Again, you're talking about an Oklahoma quarterback, and this is why I think Kyler Murray is too low. I don't think he was better than Baker, but I think you could have two quarterbacks there like 7 and 8.
Number 6 is Lamar, and let me give you the top 5, and then we can get into any debates here. Yep. Number 5 is Matt Leinart. Number 4 is Tim Tebow. Number 3 is Vince Young. Number 2 is Cam Newton, and the number 1 quarterback of the last 25 years in college football is Joe Burrow.
I don't think you can. Now, Joe Burrow had maybe the best weapons because he had Ja'Marr Chase and Justin Jefferson. And you talk about that offensive line that he had. I mean, so many guys on that offense are now playing and having great careers in the NFL. But he's the one that distributed the ball. And that career, I don't know if that year will ever be matched. It might be the greatest year of a quarterback in college football history.
Yeah, and again, Newton had a great year himself. Tebow, it's a longevity argument, right? I mean, he won a Heisman. He nearly won a second Heisman, a two-time national champion, one as a split starter, one as the starter, and he had that leadership moment. We're going to rally the troops.
Sure, but I still wouldn't put him above Vince Young, what he did at Texas, or Cam Newton. I mean, what Cam Newton was able to do was spectacular.
I think the top 4 are the right top 4.
I do. I 100% agree with that. And then once you get past that, like, you could make arguments for a lot of these guys.
Flavor of the month, yeah. Whoever you liked most. Those are the top 25 quarterbacks the last 25 years. 97-1.
Hey, let me tell you about the D, because we're going to head out there in just a couple of weeks. I think it's the 22nd of August. If you want to join us, it's America's favorite place to watch football. That's Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. You can chill in one of the 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive 40-foot-tall high-definition screen. And you might also have a perfect view of Cabana Boy, located at Circa Resort and Casino in downtown Las Vegas on Fremont Street. Stadium Swim, book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Cleaning up some ticket text, then we'll talk about the worst hobbies. And this is equal opportunity.
Uh-huh.
Guys and girls, come one, come all.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Texters say Colt McCoy should be on that list. Top 25 quarterbacks last 25 years, what do you think? I'm cool with him being left off. I think he's a fringe guy.
Yeah, wasn't he the one that got hurt in that?
I know, it's a what if.
And so, yeah, maybe if he hadn't been hurt and he was able to finish.
He could have beat Bama. But you know who did defeat Bama, dethrone Nick Saban, and not end up on this list? Deshaun Watson. He should be on this list. National champion at Clemson.
Yeah.
Helped them break through before, except the tone for Trevor Lawrence later.
I was actually at that game. I was on the sideline looking down the goal line when he scored.
It's epic. I mean, I'm not going to put it quite in Vince Young takes down USC territory, but just behind it, I think, was that game as they went back and forth. He should be on. He doesn't have to be top 10, but.
No, but, okay, so put him up against Kellen Moore.
Yeah, I'd put Watson over Moore.
Right.
I'd put him over a lot of the guys. I mean, Mackenzie Milton?
The guy at 25? Some of those arguments, and absolutely.
This one says Cam Newton should be number one. Look at the team he had compared to Burrow. Cam Newton's best season was otherworldly. Inarguable, he is the best.
I know, and I mentioned it at the time when we were talking about Joe Burrow. He had unbelievable weapons to throw the ball to. Remarkable weapons, but...
Do you remember the gauntlet they had to go through, though, to win?
I remember earlier in the season.
And they did it, like, decisively.
Yeah.
Remember that game against Oklahoma in the playoff where Burrow was at 5 first-half touchdowns?
Yeah.
And they made it look like child's play.
Yeah, but again, it was a great quarterback and having a great season with Chase and Jefferson. And then what was it? Who was the running back? Was that Allaire?
Yes, Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Yeah. So their season, they beat number 9 Texas early. They also beat number 7 Florida at the time, number 9 Auburn, 3 Alabama. They beat number 4 Georgia, number 4 Oklahoma, number 3 Clemson.
It
was a meat grinder.
It was.
And they won every single game. They won the national title by double digits. They won the semifinals 63-28. They won the SEC title 37-10. Like, John.
It was a stacked team, and it was a loaded schedule.
Yeah. Okay, on the Tigers, so by the numbers, Cookies has determined the season is over. We shouldn't bother watching, and John feels we should let it play out. Got it.
Yeah, okay. I also do have, since we're kind of wrapping up some things, I just saw this today. Remember the ice cream that we were talking about?
Yes.
The breast milk ice cream?
Yes.
I have it in my news, John.
I'm sorry.
How dare you? Well, guys,
no, it's okay. It's a tease. Find out more in the next news.
What are you going to say, John?
Stay tuned. The breast milk ice cream story has an update.
Uh-huh. Yep, there you go.
7:25. Don't miss it. That's going to get us some Marconi. Okay, hobbies.
Yes. I saw this. It says it's list season as we're trying to get through training camp. The least attractive hobbies that women see in men. And so... I'll start. We'll just going to go. I think there was 14 or 15 of them. I'm just going to go with 10 and let you know what they are. Coming in at the bottom. Go ahead, Heather.
I was going to say, are these in a particular order?
Yes. So, okay. The number one is by their analytics.
Wait. Do you want to do the number one now?
Okay.
I get it. Okay.
Before we do this, ladies, we want to know if they got it right.
Okay.
And guys, this is equal opportunity. We want to know the least attractive hobbies that women have. But okay. John, you go through this.
Oh, yes. So number 10 is weed.
Oh, that's a hobby.
For some people, reek of it. Their home smells like it.
They know all about it, and they research it. They got their own
favorite dispensary.
Strains, whatever, all of it.
Yeah.
They grow in their home. Yep.
So number 10 is weed. Number 9 is clubbing. As a hobby.
Okay.
All right. Number 8 is crypto.
Okay.
Okay, whatever. Yeah. Number 7 is dudes that wear makeup.
And that's a hobby. Yeah.
Oh, it is a hobby. Absolutely.
You know, I'm saying, as a hobby. Yeah, I get it.
I've not run into this other than
TV people,
right? Yeah, but that's not necessarily
that's not the
profession.
Same thing. No, these are people who are doing like contouring and
okay.
Oh, really? You know all about it?
That's a makeup word I know, so I used it.
you used it well. Good job.
I don't know many other ones.
True. Okay.
Saying you don't. Number 6 is anime.
I never got into it.
No, well, yeah, me neither.
John, you're not a big anime guy?
No, not a big anime guy. Number 5, this one I did not know. And I know I looked it up, but I'm going to lean on you, Jim, because when I said it the other day, you knew it was MTG.
I had to Google it. Magic the Gathering. It's like a card game.
Oh, it's a game. That's on there.
Yeah, but it's like a fantasy card game.
Yes.
Like Dungeons & Dragons?
Kind of. I think Dungeons & Dragons is probably more elaborate. I don't know. Maybe the Magic the Gathering people will tell us differently.
Yeah.
Got it.
I don't know. Yeah. Number 4, drinking as a hobby.
That's worse than all the other ones?
But by their metrics,
okay. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, who likes to be around somebody who's
Drunk all the time?
Drunk all the time.
Sounds like no fun.
Yeah.
Can't get anywhere. I can't drive.
Right.
I mean, they're stuck inside.
Some of it kind of goes hand in hand, right? Clubbing, drinking, weed.
Yeah.
Number three. Now, this one I'm debating. Is it just because they're argumentative or they always take the opposite side of you and they want to argue you, debate you while you're at dinner?
A little bit of debate is good.
I agree.
You shouldn't agree on everything. Mm-hmm. That's no fun.
Number two is cosplay.
Cosplay, yeah, that's up there for me too.
Like going to those Comic-Con conventions dressed as the characters.
Yep.
I'm Pikachu.
Yep.
Okay.
That's weird. And I like Disney, but the people that show up as their favorite character, that's weird.
It's weird.
Number one, comic books. If that is your hobby, that is apparently the least attractive hobby that men would have that women see in them.
Wow. I don't know if I'd put comic books at number one for me as least attractive. I'm definitely, I think, like, being into the comic books or superheroes is not attractive to me because I'm not into that.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's the least attractive.
What is? Speak for all women.
Well, I'm not. I'm speaking for myself because everyone has different tastes, right? The LARPing, the live action role play, that's weird. That's, if you do that.
They bring like the swords.
Like
and
that's, yeah. You want to go to the Renaissance Festival dressed up every year? I'm not into that. That's weird to me. Like that's not attractive to me, I guess I should say.
So would LARPing fall into cosplay?
A little bit.
Yeah, I think there's some overlappage for sure. Yeah, I'm not into that. The anime is up there for me too, which kind of falls into comic books. They're kind of the same, but they kind of fall into the same for me. I'm not into gamers, like video gamers. If that's your hobby, that's what you do all day, that's unattractive to me. I like people who like to get outside, who like to be active. So that's up there for me. Gambling, I'm surprised, wasn't on that list.
Yes.
That's on my list. If that's what you do all day, you spend your days at the casino or gambling online, that's unattractive to me as well.
You mean your girl doesn't want to hear about the same game parlay you built for Sunday?
And all the money that you are not winning?
Yeah, or maybe you host a podcast on it, like maybe cash the ticket or something in that regard. I mean, is that you find that unattractive?
Yeah. I've got some others, too. And I think I've shared this sometime a while ago. I'm not into hunters. Hunting to me
apparently
is not attractive.
She doesn't like either of us.
And Disney adults, I'm not into either.
Disney.
Yeah, I do like to go to Disney.
But you don't consider yourself a Disney adult.
No,
like,
no.
There's adults that are very into Disney.
Oh, sure. And
they've
got
the Disney stickers on the back of their car.
Yes. Yeah.
That, Disney purses, Disney shirts.
So a Disney adult is not someone who takes their young children to Disney.
No, because
that's what John, that's what you do. You don't. Yes. You've never gone. Have you just gone?
I've never gone by myself.
Yeah, they go by themselves.
No. And I could see a time, because Lisa likes Disney as well. We like the resorts. We like the way they're set up. I do like amusement parks.
Yeah.
Sure.
And I don't know that we would ever decide to go down there without the kids. And maybe there'd be some few years where we don't go when Teddy's older and we go then with grandkids. But I do enjoy going, yes. I also enjoy hunting.
We know you do. Yes.
How about fishing? Is that an acceptable hobby?
It is.
Okay.
I'm just curious from your perspective, hunting versus fishing. Why is one more attractive?
Because you're on a boat.
But, I don't know. Fish to me are just fish. Where animals, I'm like, oh, that was a beautiful deer, and you just shot it with an arrow or a gun, and I'm just not into that. And then you got to gut it. A fish is just different to me, even though you have to do all of that to a fish.
Got it, yeah,
I know you do.
But
you also eat fish.
I do
eat fish. As opposed to, you know.
Right. Exactly. Yes, so yes, I don't indeed. Know.
But I will say this, too, because there are a lot of people that kind of have that same thing. They don't want to go hunting. Like, my wife's not into hunting, and she's never going to go hunting with me, but it wasn't a huge turnoff for her, but she will go on the boat while I'm fishing.
Mm-hmm.
So you could kind of kill two birds with one stone there.
Yep.
I could see that. So here's the deal. You just heard the least attractive hobbies that women have for men, the hobbies that men have.
Yeah.
We're going to take phone calls on whether the women agree with that and ticket text too. But, John, we got to put the shoe on the other foot.
Yeah, dudes.
Dudes, let us know. What are the least attractive hobbies that women have? 248-539-9797.
Uh-oh.
Next, 97.1.